Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, this is it. It's your turn with our very special guest, Jonathan Gray, and your phone calls back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are now, final hour. We'll take your phone calls with our guest, Jonathan Gray. Jonathan, I've got to ask you this, though. They either had, if you believe in this high-tech society that they once had, that they could have had the Star Wars-type living environment where they lived in, stone houses and huts and things like that, or do they have the elaborate skyscrapers that we have today that simply is buried underneath thousands and thousands of feet of dirt and things like that? What do you think it was?
Well, George, considering the other parts of technology we've discovered, and by the way, I have emailed those other two pictures to you now.
Okay.
I will go for the latter option, that they did have the ability and the desire to really make a magnificent show of themselves, because what we have got is sophisticated already, just these small things we find, and the big one I've just emailed. But, yes, big buildings. And soon after the flood, they were constructing enormous buildings. So I guess they had it in their blood.
Okay, so you're saying that thousands of feet underground, buried, could be skyscrapers?
Quite easily, I would accept that, yes. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But we're not going to have a large find, I don't think. We're not going to have a lot of finds because today, unfortunately, we're mining in a different way than we did, say, 100 years ago. We began about 150 years ago to find these things buried. Now it's done by machinery, and human first-hand eye-to-eye labor is not what it used to be. We're now at a distance, and we're going to miss a lot of stuff that we would have found if we kept using 18th-century technology.
And it's also possible, though, Jonathan, these buildings, these huge skyscrapers, could have toppled too, right?
Oh, I'd be surprised if they didn't, yes. When you've got great tsunamis sweeping across and huge mountains of soil and rocks being redistributed and forests being bombarding cities and so on and burying people, you're not going to have much left standing, that's true.
All right, as soon as Lex has posted the pictures that Jonathan has just sent him, I'll let you know, and you can go to the coasttocoastam.com website and take a look at some of this ancient machinery that was found. Let's go
now,
to the
George,
phones. Yeah.
Yeah, George, could I make a suggestion about my website too? Rather than people finding archaeology answers, which some are going to spell it all different ways, could I just make a quick suggestion?
Yes, sir.
I've got a shortcut to my site as well, from your site or from wherever, and that is beforeus.com. Just before us.
That's
BEFORES.com points to archaeology answers and gets you
all
there.
Right. More work for Lex to post that as well, and we will do it because I'm sure you're getting slammed on your website right now, Jonathan. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Get us going. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Jonathan. This is John calling from Lima, Ohio.
Hi, John.
Hi. I heard you mention about Neil Armstrong and the moonshots that we are said to have made. And my grandfather worked with Neil Armstrong's father. And from what I believe, they got up there and saw something. And, you know, was told not to say anything about what they had seen. But, you know, the ultimate irony in all this is that in the three moon theories, the one theory that justifies us making a trip to the moon in the near future is the hoax theory that we never went to begin with.
Yeah, I believe we went, though. I do, too.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, why go back there if we're just going to cover it up? You know, why put people's lives at risk and use public money, you know, if we're just going to cover it up?
Good question, John. I agree with you.
Yeah, and we're talking about going back in 2015. Mm-hmm. One would say, my God, during the 1960 technology, we were able to get to the moon, haven't been there in 36 years, won't be there for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Why?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you go by the theory that we went up there and saw nothing, then that really doesn't justify a return trip either. It's the hoax theory that, you know, that says we never went there to begin with that would justify us making another attempt.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, though. I do believe that we did go, and Jonathan, I'm sure you believe we went as well, don't you?
Well, I believe we got there. Yeah.
All right. Next up, first time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yes. My question is, in the book of Genesis, it had been mentioned, even according to Zechariah Sitchin, that the earth became void. Because I know that your guest was talking a little bit earlier about that there might have been a catastrophe that happened on earth, here on earth before. And what was his response to that in reference to the book of Genesis where it talks about regeneration?
Okay, yeah, good, interesting question. That's only in the English. In the original Hebrew, which can be checked on, you'll find that the word used for was void actually means was. It doesn't mean became. And the word replenish in the English version does not mean refill. It simply means fill. The Hebrew is more precise than the English. I think in the English you don't have any problem with became void because it just says was void. But with the word replenish, it does mean in the original Hebrew fill. In other words, you can have an empty place to start with that's never been filled before and you simply fill it.
Okay, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate your input. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. Where are you calling from?
This is Adam. I'm calling from Decatur, Illinois.
Okay, Adam, go ahead.
I actually had a question for you, Jonathan. I was wondering, like, all the structures that are on Mars, for example, like the face on Mars and pyramids and whatever else is out there, I was wondering if you think that that could have been made by an ancient civilization here on Earth or if it was ancient civilization on Mars.
My view is that it could have well been made by an ancient civilization on Earth. The structures, if they are such, we won't know till we get there for sure, but they do point that way, are in harmony with the structures we've made here on Earth.
Okay, great. Well, that's all for now. I appreciate it. And, George, I love the show. I'm a longtime listener.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. And, you know, Jonathan, when you started doing this investigation, as you began to unravel things, was there one thing that you found that just boggled your mind that continues to perplex you?
Yes. I'm not quite sure, actually. There's quite a few things, I suppose. The one thing that boggles me is really how it has not even entered into the school syllabus or the school curriculum. We're taught repeatedly that we're the brainiest lot of people that have ever been on this planet. Our scientists are the best who ever lived, bar none, and that man in the past was just simply coming out of a cave where he dragged his woman round by the hair and beat her with his club, and he was grunting as he chewed on raw bits of old meat, and then suddenly he woke up to the idea of this and that and became civilized, and now we're still getting that more that way. No, history doesn't show it that way at all. As far as I can see, the evidence shows that we were pretty much with the DNA programming that we've got today, and that no information has been added to our DNA. We've got evidence of very high sophistication as far back as we can go.
All right, let's go. Lexa sent me a message with your pictures, so they're posted on the coasttocoastam.com website. Here are his instructions. You click on the lens photo on the homepage or the link that says here in the paragraph beneath the picture. Then when you get to the page, scroll down to see the new images that Jonathan has sent along with his description, and you might have to hit the refresh button. So there's Lex instructions to take a look at this machinery, which I have got to go look at myself because I bet it's pretty darn fascinating. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
This is Olin in Culver City, California.
Sure, Olin. Hi.
The seaport that's high in the Andes Mountains, that could have been pushed up by a gigantic asteroid bashing out the Pacific Ocean basin and slowing down into Earth orbit, forming the moon. The huge tsunami wave could have swept whole forests of trees into mountain valleys 1,000 feet deep, where the pile of trees turned into coal beds. So the moon should have part of the ancient Earth on it. So I'd like to know if Jonathan has ever considered a giant asteroid collision with the Earth.
Well, that's what we were talking about. I think maybe that happened. Your take on that, Jonathan?
Oh, yes, I wouldn't discount that. I think, however, the event was bigger, and the evidence does show that there was something bigger than just a tsunami that was involved as a result.
I'm looking at this picture, Jonathan, of this incredible machine, and you say that it dwarfs the dumpster on the left side. I can't see the dumpster from this picture. Maybe it was cropped off. What do you think this machine might have been used for?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine, George. If you told me it was used for something, I couldn't deny it. I don't know what it was. It's a big mystery.
It looks like it ate part of the Earth or something. Is that possible? It looks like a something that would just keep digging.
It could have been a big digging instrument. Might have been a tunnel boring instrument or something. Or who knows? I'm mystified by it. I would really love to have examined it before it was buried. But it's just like most of these things are found. You get a report in Scientific American once, maybe one paragraph, and then it disappears, is buried or destroyed.
What is this machine made out of? Do you know?
I don't know. I do know that other pieces of machinery that have been found do show sophisticated alloys. Alloys, for example, like titanium and various space-age metals that we use today. In other words, they were advanced in how they did it.
And the machine was covered with these very strange inscriptions, right?
Yes, and the inscriptions have not been able to be deciphered. They have similarities to some languages after the flood, but here it's got something before which no one can really decipher.
It looks pretty alien to me, to tell you the truth. Mm. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George and Jonathan. An honor to speak to you both.
Thank you so much. Yes, and where might you be?
My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Oliphant, Pennsylvania. I'm also a StreamLink member, and you might know me better, George, as Rack Attack. I don't know if you've
thing. Absolutely.
Okay. Right. I'm also listening in on WILK Network in Oliphant, Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Okay, my question is dealing with the Taklamakan Desert, and it's north of India. I was wondering if Jonathan has any knowledge of this. Do you know that program that you were talking about one time that you can look at cities, you can zoom in up on cities, George?
Yeah, TerraServe.microsoft, yeah.
Well, it's a similar program that I was looking at one day, and I happened to look at the globe from a long distance away. I don't know if you want me to give that address out or not. It's a different type of program other than TerraServer, but it's the same kind of thing. Do you want me to give that or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, it's keyhole.com, www.key, as in, like, if you turn a key, hole, H-O-L-E.com.
Okay.
And it actually has a 7-day free trial. You can probably try it out. I don't have nothing to do with them, but that's where I found this at. I was looking at the globe as a whole, and I happened to look at the Taklamakan Desert north of India. And it's an elliptical-shaped desert. And when I was looking at it, it looked awfully much like a glancing blow asteroid strike. And if you look at it, it looks like the asteroid might have came from the east, hit the planet at a glancing blow, and went to the west, and throwing off, like, a lot of desert and debris. And that's where all the deserts come from the west of the Taklamakan Desert. So I was wondering if Jonathan has any knowledge of this, might think that there was some sort of an asteroid blow that caused the Taklamakan Desert. And also I wrote to the USGS, and I asked them about this, and they said it was formed through other means. But they said that elliptical craters are uncommon. But I checked on the internet and I found out that they're pretty common. And as a secondary note to this, a couple of explorers went through the Taklamakan Desert, and I don't remember their names. It was a while back, and there's not much information on the internet about the Taklamakan Desert. But supposedly, under the sands of the Taklamakan Desert, there are entire cities. A lot of talk about gold, golden cities. Things totally intact: shoes, dishes, pottery. That often get uncovered.
How deep under do you think they are? Well, we lost him. Go ahead, Jonathan. Have you heard about this desert at all?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the desert, and some very interesting finds have been made there, Mike. Not least of which is a document which describes every one of the planets as though it would be seen by an astronaut. In any case, there was an advanced civilization there, no question. And there have been asteroid hits of the Earth over the last few thousand years. So it's quite possible that everything you were just saying is quite correct, and that there was a civilization, there have been civilizations wiped out in recent times. Are we talking about the Great Flood? We're talking about civilizations that have been wiped out since, and I'd say this was one of those that were wiped out since.
Isn't this interesting, as you pointed out, that a lot of this is very similar to what Velikovsky thought about when he was writing his works some time ago?
Oh, yes. Catastrophism is the pattern worldwide. This idea that everything has continued on without a break, and then that the present is the key to the past, you can throw that out the window when you look at the evidence. There has been catastrophe right through history.
First time caller line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Is this me?
It is.
Oh, hi. My name's Wanda. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Hi, Wanda.
My question, I'd like you to talk a little bit about Malta. And as I understand it, I think I've heard, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that the conservative scholarship has dated these temples a couple thousand years before the period you're talking about. And I was also wondering about the idea that perhaps these very ancient and advanced cultures maybe we're operating on a different mindset, like Julian James' Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind a little bit talks about perhaps they had advanced technologies that were more right-brained, so that it wasn't so much this kind of technical and complex hardware that they were building, but that their mind, possibly they could move objects because their mind was active in different ways in this pre-whatever glaciational cultures. Anyway, that's I just wondered about that idea. But mostly I wanted you to talk about Malta, if you could.
Malta?
Yeah.
Yes. In Malta, there are some very interesting remains. There's an underground tunnel system, and there are some very old temples. That's true. I haven't personally been to Malta, but I find it an interesting place to study.
Do you think that there are people, Jonathan, that are still living deep beneath the planet's surface?
There have been people reported who were living down under the surface, George. There is one tribe, in fact, who went down in the 1970s. 30,000 natives in South America went underground to escape the advance into their villages in the jungle of Westerners. And they're still there now.
How far down?
Not too far down, probably 20 or 30 feet below ground. And I have a friend who's actually been down there and spent time with them.
Wow. Stay with us. Back in a moment.
Get daily automatic MP3 downloads of tonight's show and every night show with the new Coast to Coast AM podcast. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, first hour, Linda Moulton Howe will join us with a special report on why those frogs in Europe have been exploding. I mean, I sent her loose on this story, and I'm really dying to find out just why it's happening to those frogs. And then we'll have open lines with a special hotline, and you're going to love it. That'll be on our next Coast to Coast program. By the way, if you have the ability to get this answer for me, I'd appreciate it, and then fast blast me. Remember when you were a kid, you touched those little bugs, those insects, and they would roll into a ball? We used to call them roly-polies. what is that real name of that insect? Because it's driving me nuts, and I've got to bet on it with somebody who also doesn't know the answer. Maybe you can help us out. Those little tiny bugs, you touch them, they'd roll right into a little ball. You know what I'm talking about. Back in a moment. Well, I'm getting fast blasted with two different kinds of these insects, by the way, so I've looked at their pictures. Now, one group of people they're sending us called sow bugs, S-O-W-B-U-G-S. That looks very close to what I'm talking about, but the ones I'm talking about are what people have fast blasted me. They're called pill bugs. Pill bugs, that's exactly what they are. Let's go back to the phones with you, Jonathan Gray, and the rest of our callers. And by the way, Jonathan, I want to thank you for just a very enlightened show tonight. Fascinating subject, and you've done a great job. Thank you.
My pleasure to be with you, George.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Burbank, California.
Ah, just like old home week for me.
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is Maharani. I love your show this evening. A great, great show.
Thanks.
I've always been curious, and I'm wondering if, Jonathan, you've come across any evidence that suggests parallel copies of the Alexandria Library or libraries of that nature that predate that, that would go back to the civilizations that you have been referring to this evening.
Am I getting the question right? Has anything survived from the Alexandrian libraries that relate to what we've been speaking of before the Great Disaster?
Well, that, and more to the point, other libraries like that one, any other vast libraries from antiquity that you may have seen evidence of having or do exist?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes. Unfortunately, the way of history has been destruction. When the Westerners went across to the Americas, they destroyed all the writings that they could find. Just a handful of the Mayan writings survived. The same happened right through the Middle East, happened in Europe. Everywhere, just about I've looked, library destruction, burning of libraries has taken place. The Alexandrian Library itself heated the swimming pools and the hot baths of Alexandria for 6 months. They burnt thousands and thousands of books in order to heat the swimming pools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are about four places where there are believed to be writings that still exist that no one has access to. One is believed to be in Morocco, another in somewhere in Spain, one in Tibet, and then there are more writings in the vaults of the Vatican, and I understand that no one is privileged to see those either. There are certain things which are hidden for some reason or another. We don't know why, but these can only be rumored because we can't prove they exist.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Yes. Earlier this evening, we were speaking about the moon thing and what might have been seen, and in private conversations with one of the astronauts who was on the surface, so I'll not use his name without his permission, but he spoke of seeing beings from other planets. And he said that there is no astronaut that's gone up that has not seen them, and that they had pictures, and that they were told not to go back. I can't say that for myself, but I can just say that he does not say that in public much, but there have been people making references to it. The other thing I wanted to mention was, you mentioned the Ica stones. The surgeries on the Ica stones, I have seen those. They were not done with instruments. They were done with the. It shows lines coming out of about the third eye area of people opening and sealing the incision. And you're coming, there's two people on either, one on either side of the person being opened up. And lines come out of the third eyes of both people, and they join in the middle and then go down to the patient. And the heart that they're holding up was drawn by somebody who definitely knew what a heart looked like. I mean, it's absolutely accurate. And others of the stones showed a man looking through a telescope-looking object at the stars. There are two globes that are about knee-high that show all the continents of the Earth, but in a different configuration, more like Pangaea or Pangaea, whichever you prefer. And there also were pictures of men riding dinosaurs, and these men have larger heads and smaller legs and torsos than present-day people. They're a different proportion, very different-looking, but definitely humanoid-looking. And there's about 25,000 of them in the doctor's home, the doctor who found them. So, like you said, no one would spend their life doing that as a joke. But there's no way to tell when they happen. And near there on the beach, the guy found also dinosaur eggs. And I made mention one time, I don't know if it was on your show, George, or on
with Art,
one of the weekends, either Art or Barbara, I had mentioned that they found a Stegosaurus fossilized on the beach, and inside the rib cage there was what appeared to be a human skull. And of course, someone called in and said, "Well, Stegosauruses were vegetarian." Well, we don't know.
except for that human that got swallowed by this thing.
We don't know how that got there, and I'm not going to say that it was eaten. I'm just saying that it appears to be a human skull, and it appears to be inside the rib cage of a Stegosaurus. So there's a lot of stuff out there that we just don't know.
It's the old ship in the bottle trick, isn't it?
Right. So very interesting. Thanks for bringing all this stuff out, Jonathan. I'm still trying to get your book from your website, and I hope to do that soon.
Okay, thank you.
Nice speaking with you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. By the way, where do you get your book, Jonathan?
Where can we get it?
Yeah.
Where can the listeners get it? Mm-hmm. www.beforeus.com. And then scroll down. There's about six or seven places on the website where you can just do a click here and go through to order if you wish.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on with Jonathan Gray on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello. Going once.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hi,
go ahead.
Oh, hi, this is Corey from Phoenix and on KFYI. And I wanted to thank Jonathan for all of his books. I've read the Dead Man's Secrets and the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm very impressed. I wanted to ask Jonathan, were you part of the research or personally involved in being there with the research that you disseminated with the book Ark of the Covenant?
I've had my own team in Israel, in Jerusalem, and we have been working in with various people who are privy to the events going on, and our purpose was to confirm something that had already been claimed to have happened. And we worked very, very close with the people involved.
It was so fantastic, the revelations that book brought out. I thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Jonathan, what do you do next in terms of your research? You don't stop. I'm sure you're not going to give this up yet.
Well, George, I'm working at the moment on a series of books which deal with the events. One book on the world before the great event, one book on the events of the great flood, and one on the geological and sociological repercussions of the great flood that survive into our society for today. In other words, how the history of the world up to our day is affected by that event that happened in the past. I'm working on that at the moment.
Mention that website again. Was it beforeus.com?
Yes, beforeus.com. beforeus.com.
All right. It's getting slammed. It may be a little slow, people, but keep at it. You'll get in there eventually. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with Jonathan Gray. Hi there.
Hey, how are you? This is Nathan.
I'm calling.
I'm glad. I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, Nathan.
A question for both of you. If either of you had heard of and read the Book of Mormon, because Professor Gay, you had spoken a lot about various calamities that happened in the Americas, and this book is a record of the ancient inhabitants there. And I was amazed, like, a lot of times it spoke of mountains being made where lakes had been and bodies of water where there had been land. I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, globally, that situation has been going on for thousands of years. There's been tremendous upheavals, and we just had one end of last year, as we know, killed 300,000 people. America was included in that, and the legends of the world are full of it.
Jonathan, you kind of hint at a widespread cover-up about some of this. How come?
Well, yes, George. That's a subject on its own, the cover-up situation. Perhaps I should make a comment or two on that. Today we have a society in which we've got, well, it's got a monopoly on the teaching system. But wherever I go, I find people who come up with anything different being slammed down and denied their positions in the universities and schools, and even being discredited. In Australia, there's a man called Val Osborne, for example. He found remains of Phoenician settlements and Phoenician and Egyptian remains in Queensland. And a university was sent up, they sent an archaeologist up to the area with instructions to come back with a report that nothing was there, and that's the report that was given over the media. And immediately he was discredited by the media. Prior to that, he was accepted. You've got Ed Conrad in America and his dealings with the Smithsonian Institute, where human remains have been found in coal. We've got Gary Vay talking about Oklahoma and the excavations there that were bulldozed by authorities, and even the owners who lived on the land were told not to interfere. We've got David Childress and his dealings with the Smithsonian. There's Martin Dutroy in New Zealand, whose discoveries of Celtic remains in the north and very sophisticated remains dating before the Maoris has been covered up, and his life has been under threat. We've got dinosaur tracks in Texas, where human remains cross over dinosaur tracks. Human tracks and dinosaur tracks are superimposed in a strata that was freshly uncovered. And people came down with tools to try to destroy these things. Now, it seems that we've got a vested interest somehow. People wouldn't get so emotionally involved that they'd want to destroy findings unless there was some philosophy they were trying to protect, perhaps, and maybe degrees, reputations, and so on.
All right, next up, International Line as the time clicks. Go ahead.
Hi there, George.
Hi, you sound like you're in a jet.
No, I'm in a truck.
Okay,
my name's Sean, calling from Edmonton, Alberta.
Okay, Sean, go ahead.
I just had a question for your guest. You were talking about the dimensions of the ark earlier, and I just wanted to ask him, does he believe that those dimensions, according to Genesis, are accurate, and that scientifically would be line up accurate with what the Bible says in Genesis? And my second question is, what's his take on about the lost city of Sodom and Gomorrah? And my third question would be, is scientists proved through the Space Hubble telescope back in the early 90s through top scientists that they were going to reveal literally hundreds of thousands of red giant stars and white dwarf stars, but Hubble apparently only discovered a few hundred. And what's his take on that? And
That's it. No more time. We've got to get him to answer it, or we're going to miss out.
Okay. The first question is, I do believe that there's enough scientific detail in the book of Genesis that we can place the Ark of Noah on a sound scientific basis as being the figures are correct, and you can take that as something that shipping experts today would accept also.
They're good proportions. Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know if you've touched on that. Have you?
Yes, sure. No, not in this broadcast. But Sodom and Gomorrah, yes. We've done investigation into numbers of ancient cities, and it is true that there are remains down in the Dead Sea area which answer to the description of ruins that have been turned to ash and are peppered with millions and millions of sulfur balls that are quite unlike anything else in sulfur form we've found near volcanoes or other places. I've spoken to geologists about this, and they say there's nothing like this. This is quite unique in the south of Israel.
Do you think that the planet then must have been at least 2,000, 3,000 feet less than what it is now, right?
There's evidence that the Earth has expanded, yes. There have been symposiums conducted in recent years with very good evidence, and I tend to agree with what they're trying to say.
Do you think the continents moved at all during this period, 5,000 years ago, or was that something that occurred billions of years ago?
I believe it's fairly recent. When you match up the strata of South America with that of Africa, they fit pretty nicely, but also there's evidence of very little erosion. If it had been millions of years back, the erosion would have been greater than it appears to be now. My theory would be this, that the crust of the Earth was split asunder at the time of the Great Flood, but not separated, and that there have been continuing disasters, and probably within a few hundred years of that event, and this is borne out by our ancestors' memory of the event, there was a splitting of the continents, almost like the Invisible Hulk. You know the old television program, the Hulk? His body would suddenly expand and his shirt would rip apart. And an expansion of the Earth by whatever means, possibly a lessening of the field of attraction of the atoms. In other words, a deterioration in the attraction of the atoms would naturally cause every atom of this Earth to be an expansion. And that could very well have happened.
I am curious what other scientists say about your book, Dead Men's Secrets.
Well, yes, certainly I'm getting responses from them. And there is a good, strong number of scientists who are saying, hey, this is something we've got to investigate. And then there are others who just won't say anything.
Well, we've got so many things going on this planet, Jonathan, that mankind just doesn't know yet. But thanks to people like you who continue to do research, it keeps our minds open. I'll tell you that. I appreciate you being on the program, Jonathan.
It's been a pleasure, George. It was certainly a wonderful time for me to speaking with you.
Okay, good luck to you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Karis Coburn, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget our next program, which of course will include those special open lines with a fascinating topic line, which I'll tell you about tomorrow. Until then, be safe, everyone.